Welcome to the February 27th, 2011, 11 o'clock worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Real Life. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now, for our worship service.
Good morning. We welcome you to College Park Baptist Church. We are so excited you are here for worship today. A few announcements we'd like to make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship. And the way we do that, we have pew pads that you'll find on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could put your name down and then check the boxes as needed. Give us any contact information you choose. This lets us find out who is in worship today. We do ask, once you're done, send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out on your pew. Once it gets to the end of the pew, if you could send it back down so that it gets back to the first person who signed it this morning. We do ask that first person, when it gets back to you, if you could tear out those pages, that will help our ushers collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for doing that. Several announcements we want to make. Many are listed there in your bulletin. Upcoming events and opportunities for the week, I want to highlight a few of them. Today during worship, we are having children's time. We're going to invite all the kids to come right down here and meet with me for just a few moments. Let's see. Also, we are having winding down our basketball season, Hoops for Him, as well as our primary basketball league. We are having our banquet this Tuesday night from 6 until 7:30. We invite everybody to come and be a part of that event. Hamburgers, hot dogs, trophies, and lots of other fun stuff this Tuesday night. And also, this Thursday will be the last week of primary basketball. I want to make note of that. Next Sunday is a big day in the life of our church. It is College Sunday. We got snowed out back in December, and we rescheduled for this coming Sunday. Most of our college kids are busy getting ready for final or midterm exams, and they'll be coming in for spring break this coming weekend. So they're going to be in charge of worship next Sunday. And then, right after next Sunday afternoon, our college students will be headed to Charleston for our college mission trip. And this is our annual mission trip to Charleston, where we work with Jimmy Creech, a man that we have grown to love over the last several years, who does ministry down there, and we'll be working with him. This is opportunity for you, number one, to pray for the college mission team. Also, we need food. We would love... Amen? Did I get an amen? Oh, Robert, amen. This is a time when we do eat a good bit. They are college students, and they do like food. And we rely on the church to provide a lot of that food. So if you're able to provide cakes, snacks, what, Raymond, do you have a preference? Okay, I'm doing good. Robert, you have a preference? Anything sweet would be fine, and chips, any kind of food would be very helpful. So if you could bring those next Sunday morning, we will take those off with us to Charleston. Let me see. I think our GAs have an important announcement. Brandy, come on.
Wow, it looks a lot different from this perspective up here. First of all, I just want to say thank you to the WMU and all the parents that bring the girls on Wednesday nights. We have 15 wonderful GAs this year. Next week is our Muffins for Missions. You may remember this from years in the past. This will happen during the recreation service at 9 and during the Sunday school hour, and also... it wraps up after Sunday school, right? Yes. So you have to eat before 11 o'clock. You can't come in with a muffin next Sunday morning. The muffins are free, but we will be taking a love offering for Annie Armstrong and the Global Missions next week for that. And our other exciting thing is our spring mission project is going to be, we're going to work with the Lily's Friends Foundation, which is something very near and dear to a lot of us here at this church. It supports the Lily Boy, who was a student at Maple Springs Preschool. She was actually in Addie and Catherine's age group, and she died of neuroblastoma. And this foundation was created from her parents to support the research for that particular pediatric cancer. So for the next several weeks through the whole month of March, our GAs are going to be learning Bible verses on Wednesday nights. And as they learn their Bible verses, they will earn money towards running the Lily's Friends 5K on April the 23rd, which is purely a donation to the Lily's Friends organization. So we ask for your help in this by supporting us. And if you want to make a donation to that, it's going to go to a general fund in the GAs. And as the girls learn their Bible verses each week, they're going to recite them to us, and we're going to check them off, and that's going to get them a little bit closer to earning their entry into the race. And Addie and Catherine are just going to show you a little bit of what we're going to be doing. And they look cute and sweet, so they are ready to step up and say their verses for you this morning.
Let us not become weary in doing good. Galatians 6:9. 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors.
Jordan and Rebecca are just here for support this morning. They will say verses to you later on. The insert in your bulletin gives you more information about this, and I would really encourage you to go to their website that's listed. You can get tons of information and watch a video produced by Corey and Michelle Boyd. And we'll be following up with you as the weeks get closer. Thank you.
We are certainly thankful for all of our GAs and RAs and their leaders. They do good work in preparing our young people to not only learn about missions, but to do missions. And that's what, as Baptists, we are about, is doing missions. And so we're thankful. That's not easy getting up here to do that. And we are very thankful for how good they did such a great job this morning. I think we have one final announcement. Tyler Lee. Oh, TJ. Okay.
Good morning. I'm up here to talk to you about the dinner and a show that we're having. And when we first started this, we were assigned and partners to have announcements made in the morning, like I am myself. And Jeff just so happened to coincidentally put me with a partner that likes to sleep in kind of late and not show up on time. So... What are you doing?
Yeah, you didn't call me and tell me we were making an announcement this morning.
Tyler, you're going to college next year. It's about time to have some responsibility for yourself and know what you're going to be doing.
Well, see, my girlfriend called me this morning and was like, hey, we're taking dance lessons this morning. And I was like, I think I got to go to church. And she was like, no, you're coming with me. And I was like, yeah that goes.
Do you know what we're supposed to talk about this morning?
I know we're supposed to be here. But...
All right, I'll take a second. Well, the youth is doing a dinner and a show on March 12th and 13th, and the theme is A Night in the City.
Oh, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, right.
All right, so we're having a dinner and show. The Saturday showing is $20, and the Sunday afternoon is $15. There will be babysitting provided for both shows, so you don't have to just leave the kids at home or something. They can come play with some toys or something, but...
That's about it. If you would like to buy a ticket, you can talk to any of the youth, and we're selling tickets out front as you're leaving. Thank you.
You know, somebody really should screen those things. I have to talk to whoever's in charge. I think we're done with announcements. I'm afraid if we had one more. Are there any other announcements? Anything? It is good to be together. We would like to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We usually don't have people come in the sanctuary with tutus on. We hope that you don't hold that against us. We would like to say a special welcome to you, though. If you're a guest, would you just raise your hand right where you are, and the ushers will come down, and they'll recognize you. They'll give you a little packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor. Also, you'll find a little bit of the story, the history of College Park, and a newsletter that gets you the latest information about what's happening here in our church. So it's good to be together. Last week, I had the opportunity to go home to my home church back in Garner. It was our 40th anniversary celebration, and it was really good to be home. But Jennifer, Matthew, and I really miss being at our current home, College Park. And it's good to worship with you. It's good to see your faces, to know the hearts of the people that are in this church. We are mighty thankful to be a part of you. And being in worship is a gift for us. It's a gift for all of us. No matter what the day may bring, no matter what tomorrow may bring, the challenges, the questions, the doubts, God is God. He is alive. And He chose to send His Son to die on the cross, to be resurrected, so that you and I would have the chance to have eternal life with Him. That's enough. If He gave us nothing else, that's enough for us to worship Him forever and ever and ever. Let's prepare to worship.
He's got the whole world in His hands. 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 He's got the whole wide world in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands.
Will you pray with me? What a powerful truth that is, our Father. That on those days when we feel alone, when we can't answer the questions, or when we have more questions than answers, we are reminded You've got it all under control. And there's nothing that happens in this life that You are not aware of. When we hurt, You hurt. Father, we know this because You've sent Your Son. How God became man so that we may come to You. In this time of worship, hear us. Bring You praise. Because You've got it all under control. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Kids, come on down. Have a seat right here. Come on down. Some from the balcony. All right. How's everybody doing this morning? Good. Huh, that's a good question. Come on down. Let's see. Hey, Christian, can you help me out? Christian, can you come down here? All right. Hey, guys. Y'all doing all right this morning? All right. So I have rope, right? We're going to tie him up. All right. It's real rope, right? Or touch it. It's pretty, pull on it. Just a little bit. Tug on it. It's pretty strong. Okay. All right. Okay, not that much. But just hold it right there. Face the congregation. All right. Come back. Step back here a little bit. All right. Now, you got it? You got it tight? Okay. I want you to help me out a little bit, okay? What's the word worry mean? Anybody know what that word means? It's a big word, worry. Anybody got, just guess. What do you think, Catherine? Could be you're scared. Okay, what are some things, just think about your normal day. What are some things you get scared of? A banana? Okay, we'll do a banana. All right. What's something else you get? A test. Oh, we get nervous about a test. Okay.
The teacher.
What? No, we got some good teachers in here.
I know.
Just the ones in your class. Okay. All right. All right. What else? What are some other things we get worried about? Tests. What else? What do you get worried about? Somebody breaking a window? Do what? Screaming teachers.
That's the one I have.
They're only screaming because the kids are screaming, probably. All right. What are some other things we get worried about? A Komodo dragon? I didn't have that one on my list, but we can. That's all right. All right. What else? Being suffocated by a rope. All right. That's a good one. All right. That's a good one. What else? What else do we get nervous about? Your dog trying to jump all over you? What else? What do you think? Oh, giants. How many don't like giant snakes? Look how many people, we're right there with you. Now, if there was one as big as my house, I wouldn't like that either. All right, what else? What else do we get nervous about? Oh, there's lots of things to get nervous about, right? We've heard the window, yeah. What is it with y'all in windows, all right? What else do we get nervous about? Sam, what do you get nervous about? What do you worry about? Grades, oh, that's a good one. What else? Okay, we've heard dog. Peyton, is there something you get nervous about, you get worried about? That Christian's being suffocated, okay. We do worry about a lot of stuff, don't we? All right, Christian, try to get out of that. What's happening to him? Can he get out? Why? Okay. Well, let me hold on. Don't try to get out just yet. I'm not going to suffocate you, I promise. Now, Pastor Raymond is going to talk about that word worry some today. Is it hurting you?
No.
Okay. It doesn't hurt a Packer, does it?
No.
Those Green Bay Packers. You know, a lot of times, moms and dads, they worry about a lot of stuff. They worry about making sure you have something to eat. They worry about that you've got clothes and you've got a place to sleep. I worry about that stuff. But you know what? Jesus says, you don't need to worry. Because who's got your back? That's right. What are some things that Jesus and God do for us? What do they do for us? What do they do for us? They look after us. What else? What does God do for us? Does he love us? Okay, that's a good one. What else do they do for us? Do they listen to us? They love us. They listen to us when we pray. Make sure, that's right. They give us good word. What about the Bible? Do they give us the Bible? That's a pretty cool thing. So what happens when we stop worrying about all these things in our life, and as the Bible tells us, just let God handle all those things? And we worry about getting dizzy in front of the entire congregation. And what happens when you let go of all that worry?
We're free.
We're free. And that's exactly what happens with God. You need to stop worrying, because guess what? Guess what? Look at it this way. God loves you. He's got your back. And whatever you worry about, He wants you to come to Him in prayer, and He'll let you let it go. So you don't have to be all tight and bound up, but you can be free. Okay? Let's pray together. God, we love You. And we thank You for this morning and the fact that we do worry about a lot of stuff. But You tell us that's not what real life is about. Real life is let go. Help us to do that, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Our scripture text this morning includes two passages from the Old Testament. We'll be reading first from the book of Isaiah, in the 49th chapter of Isaiah, beginning at verse 8. And if you don't have your Bible with you, there should be one located on the pew close to you, so feel free to read along. From Isaiah 49, 8. This is what the Lord says: in the time of my favor, I will answer you, and in the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritances, to say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. They will feed beside the roads and find pasture on every barren hill. They will neither hunger nor thirst, nor will the desert heat or the sun beat upon them. He who has compassion on them will guide them and lead them beside springs of water. I will turn all my mountains into roads, and my highways will be raised up. See, they will come from afar, some from the north, some from the west, some from the region of Aswan. Shout for joy, O heavens! Rejoice, O earth! Burst into song, O mountains! For the Lord comforts His people and will have compassion on His afflicted ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. And from the book of Psalms, in Psalm 131. My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have stilled and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Pray together. Lord, what a powerful message. We've heard it sung twice this morning, and those words mean a lot to us. We believe them, Lord. We believe that you have the whole world in your hands. We believe that you have us in your hands, that you are in control. We believe that, Lord, but we forget it constantly. Not because we doubt you as much as we doubt ourselves and we doubt this world. And this world teaches us a message that we can be in control, that we can be responsible for our own success or failure, that we are in control, that we can make it happen, that we can do it or make sure it doesn't happen to us. Lord, please remind us that you are in control. Please help us to have the wisdom to believe that and to act in a way that we believe it, to turn our burdens over to you, to not be tied up by the stresses of our daily lives, but to be set free by the knowledge that you are in control and that we are not. Lord, help us to be a people that doesn't live by fear. Fear of things we cannot control and worry over events that may or may not happen regardless of what we do. Lord, help us to live as a people motivated by love, motivated by knowledge that you are in control, that you have us in the palm of your hand, that you love us, that you're going to take care of us. Not everything will be right, not everything will be perfect, but that you will be there for us no matter what happens. Lord, we've seen evidences in our own lives, both in ourselves and in those around us, that when we are free, powerful things happen. When we turn burdens over to you, lives are changed. When we commit ourselves to you, hearts are healed. Relationships are put back together, and callings are found. Lord, help us to be free. Help us to seek you each day and to believe and trust in you enough that whatever is weighing on our heart, whatever is weighing on our mind, that we give it to you this week and live for you and not for us. Lord, help me to admit that I cannot do everything, that I am not in control. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for every person here, for the love that you show to all of us on a daily basis, even though we're imperfect. Lord, help us to, this week, starting right now today in this hour of worship, to turn our lives over to you, to take the things that are weighing most heavily on us and give them to you, and honestly and sincerely this week, to let that be the way that we live, to let that rope fall off, and to let ourselves be free to be who you created us to be. Lord, thank you for holding us in the palm of your hand and for loving us today and every day. It is in this hour of worship, in this beautiful place, on this beautiful Sunday morning, that we honor and praise you. Amen.
Thank you. How'd y'all like that music? Charlie, did you give them a pep talk? Did you give the choir a pep talk this morning?
I did not. Oh, man.
Great job. As a deacon, I have been asked to speak a minute about stewardship as it relates to money. But we all know and understand that Christian stewardship is not just about money. It's about sharing our time and the love of Jesus Christ in all aspects of our life. It's also, I believe, about the priorities that we have. We use our money as individuals, as a body of Christ, in those priorities. College Park, our church, has voted to accept a ministry missions action plan budget. This is it right here, if you haven't seen it. We show the world what our priorities are for the money in this plan. The very first category is World Missions Ministry, right here on the top line. This is money that we want to send outside of the church building, like hospice. We support hospice, Meals on Wheels, denominational missions to support the cause of Christ around the globe. But this mission budget is just that. Actually, a plan we hope to achieve. We as a body of Christ can help make this plan happen or not. Choice is ours. If we achieve or not by giving our offerings to our overall annual budget. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we are humbly thankful to be blessed by you in so many different ways. We acknowledge that by our works, we do not deserve anything. Only by your Son's mercy and grace are we blessed. Please, Lord, accept our offering as praise and worship of you, the one and only true God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
How many of you have seen the movie Groundhog Day? Have you seen the movie Groundhog Day? Do you know what I'm talking about? The movie with Bill Murray? That's a classic. If you've never seen the movie, you need to see it. No matter what age you are, there's a little humor in there for everyone. In the movie, Bill Murray plays this character named Phil Connors. And Phil Connors is given a chance to change his life, to redo it, to push a reset button and learn truly how to live. Phil is a weatherman. He's a weatherman. He has no joy in his life. He's become oblivious to life. Life has become a chore for him. There's no enthusiasm. There's no meaning in life for him. Phil is self-centered. He's conceited. He's pompous. He's sarcastic. He's pessimistic. He's the kind of guy that we wouldn't talk to even in church. Did I say that out loud? You know, he's just a miserable person. We will talk to him in church. I'm just kidding. But Phil has little regard for other people, except when it's to manipulate them for his own gratification. And the story unfolds and his life changes when the television station that he works for sends him to a little town in Pennsylvania to do that little Groundhog Day story, you know, the traditional story, the groundhog coming out of its hole to predict the next 6 weeks of weather, which, by the way, he missed it this year. But anyway, but something strange happens. Something strange happens in the process. Phil Connors gets caught up in a time warp. And for days, for weeks, for months, he wakes up at 6 o'clock a.m. and it's always the same day again. It's Groundhog Day again and again and again. And it's as though God or fate or something is saying to Phil Connors, you're going to have to repeat this day until you get it right. You're going to have to repeat this day until you learn how to truly live. Maybe that's kind of what Jesus is talking to us about in the Sermon on the Mount. Remember, for the last several weeks, we've been in the Sermon on the Mount. And then last week, we took a break to do a little light reading from Leviticus. You remember that? Yeah. And today, we're back. We're back to the Sermon on the Mount. And we're in chapter 6, and I invite you to read with me a passage of Scripture which we've probably heard quoted to us. We've probably heard sermons on it. We've probably memorized parts of it. But I want to read beginning in verse 25 from Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is teaching, and he says to them, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food? And the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, then not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of them. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Jesus is giving us some very practical instruction. He's saying in order to have real life, we need to understand that life, as he presents it to us, is meant to be lived free of worry. He says, do not worry about your life. That's what he says. And we say, well, that sounds great, but obviously Jesus doesn't know the kind of stress I'm under. Really? Really? That makes a whole lot of sense till we hear ourselves say it out loud. Jesus doesn't know the kind of stress we're under. It's natural, maybe, for us to worry a little bit. You know, there's things I worry about. Sometimes I worry about the safety of my children, if they're doing the right things. You know, it's natural. As you have aging parents, you worry about them, worry about their safety and their health. That's a natural part. So what are we supposed to worry about? Or are we really not supposed to worry at all? Well, statistics tell us, in a book called The Vital Congregation, Herb Miller said that the most people likely feel stressed, the people that most likely feel stressed are college graduates, those with the highest income, and persons age 40 to 49. And as I looked at that, I thought, I really don't have anything to worry about. College graduates are the only category I fit in there now. So I really shouldn't be stressed out at all. But the point that he's trying to make is that worry should not be the dominating force in our lives. We shouldn't live to worry. We shouldn't wake up in the morning worrying about that day. We shouldn't go to bed at night worrying about what transpired the previous 8, 12, 10 hours, however long you were up. And it's been said that people spend the most time worrying about things that will never happen anyway. And worrying about something doesn't change it one bit. And we've seen all of those on cross-stitch patterns or something, you know, or on a mug somewhere that somebody gives us full of coffee. You know, and they say, don't worry about that stuff. It's not going to change anything. And we believe that probably in our hearts and in our minds. We believe that stuff. But do we live our lives like we truly believe it? That's the question. Scripture tells us you can't add a single day to your lifespan by worrying. Actually, quite the converse is statistically true. This generation is killing itself with stress, with hypertension, unnecessary worry. And contrary to that spirit, Jesus is encouraging us to relax. Trust in the Spirit of God. I remember back in 2001 that the nation was in an uproar. Right after 9/11, people were worried about everything. I mean, just maxed out on worry. You know, not only financial situations, but just security. And our whole world was shaken, at least in the Western culture, was shaken during that time. And during that month, my wife and I were having ongoing discussions because back in the spring, we had booked a trip to Disney World for October, for fall break. And we're sitting there going, well, is it safe to fly? Should we be doing this? And as we got a week away, we got a phone call from David Lane. David had worked out all of our arrangement for us. And he called and said, Raymond, I've canceled your flights. I've canceled your room down there at the All-Star Resort. I have canceled your rental car for the week, and I've canceled your tickets into the park. And I'm saying, Dave, we still want to go. We've decided we want to go. And he said, no, you don't understand. I canceled all of those, and I rebooked them at 25 cents on the dollar. I was like, Dave, you're the man. You are the man. And so we went. We went. We said, we're not going to worry about that. We booked this thing. We're going to go. So we went to Disney World during fall break, a month, less than a month after 9/11. And we went from ride to ride to ride to ride. There was very few people there. And I remember getting on one ride. It was called the Tower of Terror. Great ride to ride during all this, wasn't it? Tower, have you ridden it? Oh, yeah. Great, great ride. You go up like in this little mansion and you slide out and then it kind of drops or something. And it was a great ride. Carson and Ashton and I were on the ride. Sandra said, I'm having no part of it. I'll take pictures. Y'all have a good time. Get on in the ride. And Ashton was able to get on the ride even though she was only 6 years old because she was so tall. Because they don't take into age. They say, you know, if you could fit, you know, above this, you know, then they let you in the ride. And we're sitting there and these five guys are right behind us. And they're college age guys. And the one in the middle is screaming his head off. I mean, the ride really hadn't even started yet. And he's freaked out and nowhere to go. And one of his buddies taps me on the shoulder and said, sir, do you mind me asking how old your daughter is? I said, she's 6 years old. And he turns around and said, dude, the girl is 6 years old and she's not crying. You're screaming like a girl. Why don't you relax, sit back, and enjoy the ride? And I thought, you know, Jesus probably could have said that and saved a bunch of verses. Dude, just sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. That's pretty good theology. Unlike people who go through life all tensed up, stressed out, worried about everything, maybe we need to relax a little bit. Now, understand, I'm not stupid. I get it. I know that there are things in life that we have to deal with. I'm not advocating kind of a Pollyanna approach to, I understand that. But what I am saying is when we follow the words of Jesus and we don't worry, when we do trust Him more with every detail of our life, then when the things pop up that need our attention and could stress us out, they don't seem quite as magnanimous because they're not one more thing piled onto the pile. Do you understand what I'm saying? Maybe a good relaxing exercise would be to read the passage of Scripture that Jason read a little bit earlier. From Psalm 131, verses 1 and 2. It reads, I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me, but I have calmed and quieted my soul. I think that's what Jesus is saying. Don't worry about the things that are too big for you. Matter of fact, don't worry about any of them. Calm and quiet your soul before the Lord who made you, who loves you, and does not want all that stress in your life for your sake. I think that's kind of what Jesus had in mind. Calm and quieting our soul. Second, I think we should aim to live life to its fullest. John 10:10, we've heard it recited over and over and over and over again. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly, to the fullest, to the max, as one translation says. And it should have an exclamation point there. I've come that you may have life, real life. And it's hard to have abundant life when you're stressed out. That's what Jesus wants us to understand. We may not get it. We may not get this whole thing about how to live until late in life. Others don't get it at all. You remember back last fall when we were in the 1 month to live, I asked the question over and over and over and over again, made the statement over and over and over again. Until you understand, until you're ready to die, you can never truly live. And the reason I said that is because we have to understand things from God's perspective. And if we will understand it from God's perspective, then we can have real life. Then we can have abundant life. Life that is stress-free, worry-free, because He knows what that does not only to our physical bodies, our emotional well-being, but also our spiritual well-being. Jesus encouraged us. He said, look at the birds, man. Look at the birds of the air. Consider the beautiful lilies of the field. Stop. Smell the roses. Listen to the birds sing. And understand. Get God's perspective. Such is what happens to Phil Connors in Groundhog Day. He learns how to live life to its fullest. He learns how to play the piano. He learns how to produce beautiful ice sculptures. He learns to read and appreciate French poetry. He learns the true meaning of friendship and what it means to really be a friend. And he learns how to be humble and really listen to other people. But most important, Phil learns how to love other people. And he learns that true joy in life comes from serving other people. In the movie, he fixes a flat tire of a lady that needs help. He catches a little boy who falls out of a tree. He keeps a man from choking to death on a piece of steak. And doing a host of other things that brings joy to other people. And he never is seeking self-gratification from that point on. And when Phil learns to love and to serve other people unselfishly, he finds out that happiness, true happiness, joy, is a byproduct. And he comes out of the time warp a changed man. Now, that's a nice story, isn't it? That's a nice wrapped up, feel good, ooey-gooey kind of feeling. Oh, that's a nice story. But to live life to its fullest, to truly live life to its fullest, we have to understand that Jesus is calling us relax. Turn our spirit, our soul over to Him. Learn to follow Him daily. Learn to trust Him with all areas of our life. He lays them out in the Sermon on the Mount. He lays them all out, chapters 5 through 7. Go back and read them again. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches us about love, forgiveness, patience, prayer, faithfulness, service, trust, all of those things of how to follow Him. And He talks about giving us one day at a time. That's what we've got to work with. Look at one more time. Look at verse 28. There's a good lesson here. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They don't labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you of little faith? Understand, when we hear the word lilies of the field, what pops into our mind? What image? We see the little lilies that we buy at the florist, right, Robert? Yes. Right, Bud? Where's Bud? We think about those flowers. But that's not it. Those kind of lilies did not grow in Palestine. The lilies that grew in Palestine that Jesus is referencing were scarlet poppies which bloomed from a bulb after the spring rains. And when they bloomed, they carpeted the plains and the hills of Palestine with these beautiful, beautiful, colorful blossoms. But they bloomed for one day. One day. And in their brief life, they are clothed with the beauty, which Jesus said surpasses the beauty of the robes of the kings. Yet with all the glory of the lily, when they died, they were used for nothing better than burning in order to raise the temperature of a clay oven. And Jesus said, if God gives such beauty to a short-lived flower, how much more will he care for us, the crown of his creation? You see, God gives us life one breath at a time, one day at a time. And taking care of the present is what should concern us, not the mistakes of the past, not what might happen in the future. Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's concerns are, you know, that's enough for then. Worry about today. Take care of today. Don't worry. Don't worry. In the fall, we ask, if you only had 30 days to live, how would you live your life? In Groundhog Day, Phil Connors asks, if you only had one day to live, what would you do with it? Because you see, none of us are guaranteed the next breath, let alone tomorrow. What would you do with it? It's a good philosophy to live your life by. Learn how to relax. Trust the goodness of God. Live life to its fullest by loving and serving others one day at a time. That'd make a good song title, wouldn't it? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we worry ourselves literally to death sometimes. Maybe it's because we want to control our lives, and most of the time lives are uncontrollable. God, we confess that sometimes we get in the way of just incredible blessings you want to send our way, but we're so preoccupied with stuff that doesn't matter that we miss it. God, we ask for your forgiveness. We ask for your help. Cleanse our hearts. Take our burdens away from us. Allow us to place them at your feet and then get up and walk away free from those burdens. And in doing so, show others what an incredible God we serve. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name. This morning, our theme in worship is obviously don't worry. Don't worry about things. Let God take control. But if you're not a Christian, there is one thing you need to worry about, and that is your salvation. And this morning, I'd love to share with you how you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're not a believer yet, and I say yet because I know that every person deep down has a God-sized void that needs to be filled. And this morning, you're given an opportunity to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'd be glad to share with you how you can receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'll be here at the front when we stand and sing in just a moment, or if you want to catch me this week, give me a call. I'll be glad to meet you somewhere and talk with you about it. If you're here this morning, you say, Raymond, I'm a believer, but boy, you hit it right on the head. You know, I'm worrying myself about things I need not. You can certainly pray where you are, turn those things over to God and let him take care of it. Or you're certainly welcome to come to the front and pray at the altar if you'd like to. If you're here and you say, Raymond, I'd really like to be a part of this fellowship of believers, there are many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. But whatever it is, as we stand and sing together now, pour your heart out to God. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're going through. Be honest with him. Spend a little time with him. Let him touch you and heal you during this time. Let's stand and sing together. Benediction, the response, I invite you to greet one another, offer a word of encouragement, thanksgiving to the people that we share as we worship, as we minister together. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for every day that you give us. We embrace it as a gift from you, the gift of life today, the blessing of fellowship with other believers, the opportunity to serve you. And as we go from this place, we pray that we would go understanding just how much you love us and how deeply you care about the things that trouble us. Father, allow us to trust you enough to place those in your hands. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-7000. 5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.